become very, very exciting for me. I'm shaking all the time about it. I really am. Yesterday, and I got to tell you this story real quick. If you don't get a chance to go, come out and go soul winning, come out and call me. Give me a call, 4 to 5 every day, 4 to 5, 5 days a week. Please give me a call. I would love to take you out and go soul winning. We've gone to the neighborhood that Miss Marla lives in the last few times, and I tell you, it's been exciting. I'm telling you, it's been exciting. Every single person's opened the door and talked and been excited to have us there, and it's been great. It's been a phenomenal experience. So please, if you'd like to go out, please give me a call. David, I don't have a ride for you. And Saturday, Brother Phil gives me a piece of paper, and he's the soul winning director for our church, and I'm excited that he's in that position, and he's done a phenomenal job. And he gives me a paper, marks off a bunch of streets and highlighter, and he let me have Jordan, and Jordan's a little bulldog going soul winning, and I like going with Jordan, and he only takes about 8 steps for every one of my 25 steps. His legs are about 17 feet long, and so I'm real tired, and he's sitting there, "What's the matter, Brother Dave? Why are you so tired?" But we're walking these streets, and there's a little street called Onondaga. I don't know if I've got that right, but anyways, it's right behind the bowling alley over there. And we passed it the first time because it looked like it was just a driveway, and you didn't see it. There's no houses up there or anything. You didn't see anything. So we skipped it, and we went on, and we did all the other houses that were there, about 50, probably 50 homes, I would think. And we got back, and we come around again. There's a couple more houses right next to that street on Onondaga. And I said, "You know what, Jordan? Your dad marked it off. Let's be obedient. Let's do what your dad has given us to do. Let's walk up this street." Hadn't won anybody to Christ, and nobody was really even in the mood to talk, and that's okay. And so we went up that street, and well, sure enough, there's 2 houses up there. I said, "Well, you know, we're here. Let's go ahead." Knocked on the first door. Nothing happened. We left a track there. Nobody was home. Next door, we knock on the door, and this couple comes to the door, and wouldn't you know it, invited us in. We got to talk to them, and we led both of them to the Lord. Now listen, now the only reason I say that is, don't give up on the street because it doesn't look like there's any houses there. And the reason that I say that is because I almost didn't go to that street, Brother Phil, but because you marked it down and said, "You go to here," I did it because I was being obedient to what Brother Phil had told us to do. Now understand, I am in the complete mode of obedience right now to what the Lord would have you to do. Really, seriously. He wants you to go out and tell people about him. That's what he wants you to do. Be obedient. You saw Dr. Gray preach about that. You may not think you're a success, but if you're being obedient, you're going and telling people about him, that is a success. Remember what he told us. Telling people is the success. Going is the success. If they get saved, that's all gravy. It's awesome if they do, okay? So I'm just real excited right now. If I'm too excited for you, well, just go to sleep for a few minutes and it'll be all right. But I'm very excited about the things that are going. Brother Phil's doing a fantastic job in our soul winning visitation program. So if you'd like to come out, please come out on Saturdays. They go out from 2 until whenever they get done. And then Monday through Friday, just give me a call. 4 to 5 is when I go. So if you'd like to go with me, that'd be tremendous. But make sure you call first. Don't just show up because I might leave and go from somewhere else. And sometimes preacher and I take off and we're not even at home when it starts. So make sure you call me if you'd like to go. Jeremiah chapter 6. We started this last week. Jeremiah chapter 6. This was on the first page that I gave you last week. Biblical correctness as opposed to political correctness. Truthfully, I really like the way that brother, this is Brother Ball's stuff, right? Yeah. I really like the way Brother Ball has put this together. I really like the way he approaches political correctness. Because there's a lot of different avenues that you could go. But understand this. I believe most of the time where we make a mistake dealing with political correctness as preachers, where we make the mistake is we approach it from an avenue of hatred or being mean about handling political correctness. Understand this, if you go from the avenue that Brother Ball does here and approaches it as biblical correctness versus political correctness, and you make the choice, it's not hard to make the choice, okay? Biblical correctness outshines political correctness so greatly that you won't have any trouble discerning which is right and which is wrong, okay? So go to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 9. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I promise I'll read quickly. Starting in verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. For therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Mike Freimer, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you very much. It's not very difficult, in my opinion. We started this a little bit last week, but it's not very difficult to understand that if we would stick with the philosophy that's biblical, if we would stick with a philosophy that the Lord would like us to stick to, we would certainly not be in the shape that we're in this nation. We were founded upon God. You can go into all the history books, all the early documents of this country, and I promise you, every last one of them has God in there, or the word of the Lord, or we need to stick with God in every single one of them. We fled to this country to have religious freedom. We didn't flee to this country for tax relief, because that certainly hasn't happened. But what we do have is we have a country that was founded upon God. The problem is our foundation is being eaten away every single day. More and more things are being taken away from us. More and more things are being forced upon us. And because we haven't been loud with our voices, and I'm not talking in a voice of hatred, I'm not talking in a voice of anger, but what I'm talking in is a voice that's resolute and will not go away. The voices of the preachers have not been resolute. The voices of the preachers have not been here. The voices of the preachers have gone away. They're fearful of the people that are out in their congregations. They're fearful of the people getting up and walking out in the middle of their messages. They're fearful that what they say may bother people, or what they say may stir up the people. But understand this, I would rather have a stirred up people than a people that just sits here and doesn't go out and tell people about the Lord. Understand, healing is not going to come. We've said this 800,000 times, and I think it should be said over and over again. Healing is not going to come from the house that sits on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. No matter who the president is, I don't care who he is. You say, well, bless God, we should have had McCain. He was a loser too. You haven't had a man that has been a man. Hello. You haven't had a man that's been, the Lord must want him to hear this part, amen? We haven't had a man that has actually cared about God since Ronald Reagan. Oh, well, Brother Dave, you're hitting on the Democrat. I don't care nothing about the Democrats or Republicans. I don't. Because right now, you can't hardly tell them apart. What we need is to go back and we need to go back and search out what the Lord would have us to do. If you look at that verse in Jeremiah, verse 19, if you look at the verse, actually verse 16, let's start there. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old ways. Where is the good way? It's in the old paths. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I promise you today, one of the greatest things that people all across America are asking for is a break. Man, just give me a break from all the things that are happening. Just give me a break. I'm going to promise you right now, you want a break, turn your TVs off at 10:30 and 11 o'clock. Turn your TVs off when it comes time for news.
Well, Brother Dave, I need to stay informed. Don't watch the news because you're not getting information there. You're getting hatred there. You're getting malice there. You're getting to be brainwashed there into thinking that everything in the whole wide world is going bad. Look at what's happening right now this morning. This is not bad.
Amen.
This is very, very good. This is very, very good that we're able to go to church on Sundays. This is very, very good that we've got people that still care about the Lord. This is very, very good that we still have people that desire to hear about the things of the Lord. I've said this over and over again. I believe this to be true. If we would have a man today that would stand up and say, I want to do what is right, I believe America would vote for him.
Yes, I do too.
I really do. I don't believe that America is excited about these slack-jawed people that we have. Well, bless God, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Hogwash, put your feet out there. We'll mash right on them. Because I believe people want right. I believe people desire to have right. I would love to go across the nation right now and have a vote on whether abortion is right or wrong. An actual popular vote to see what people would say. I would bet my whole life that it would go down. I would bet my whole life on it. I saw it happen in California this last week. I saw it happen in California. People desire, and let me tell you, if it can happen in California, imagine going elsewhere in the country. And it wasn't by just a slim margin, by the way. It was by a large margin. They want right. They want right. People desire in this nation, I believe they desire, I really do, preacher, I believe with all my heart that they want to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. If we walk in the old paths, then we have to go against some things. If we walk in the old paths, then we have to stand for something. Because look at what it says in the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord, stand. If you're not going to stand for everything, you'll fall for everything. And what happens is this. We won't stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? Ye shall find rest for your souls. We will not walk therein. So you've got the situation that you've got today. To approach political correctness, in my opinion, you just approach it with the scripture. To be real honest with you, there's nothing new that we can say as preachers. We go to the Bible and try to find our information there. Because to be real honest with you, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that abortion actually is murder. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that homosexuality is wrong. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we should have prayer in the schools. Just turn this down just a little bit, Brother John. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure all that out, that is really wrong things, that we should be standing in the old ways and we should be walking in the old paths. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. What has to happen, though, is preachers have to grab a hold of that Bible again and they have to preach what's in that Bible without wavering, knowing that that's what this nation still needs.
Amen.
We talk about political correctness. I'm so sick of hearing about political this and political that.
Yes.
They've taken a garbage man and turned him into a sanitary technician. Does that make the garbage man feel any better? He's still picking up your garbage that has been chewed through by the cat the night before and lays all over the street. He's not excited. It's always cats. He's not excited. He's not excited. Political correctness. He's not excited about picking up the trash. He's not excited about getting a new thing on his name tag. He's still a garbage man. And what happens is this. We're so excited in the society, and this is where it's at, preacher, of making a loser a winner. Hey, coming up through school, when I was in elementary school, the person that won in tetherball was a winner in tetherball. I'm just using that as an example because there was nobody out on the playground that was saying, it's okay that you lost, little David. It's okay. I congratulate you on your loss. And because you lost, the winner has to sit down for a while. No, you won. You kept playing. When you were kids, if you won, you were what? The winner.
Yeah.
Anymore today, they want all the kids in the whole wide world to think that everything in the world is a tie.
Exactly. That's right.
Let me ask you a question. And some of you may be smart in this. who won the Super Bowl a year ago, but then who lost the Super Bowl a year ago? Most can't remember second place. See, understand this. I come from, and you say, well, Brother Dave, I don't know where you're going with this. Real simple. Political correctness makes everybody the same in this life today. Okay? It is a desire to make everybody else the same. But there are winners and there are losers. You see what I'm getting at? There are winners and there are losers. Let's look at some of this stuff right now. What will make us a winner? Ephesians chapter 6. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look now at Colossians chapter 3. Look now at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now I want you to listen, look at those two verses, well, whatever, but listen to me, okay? Could you imagine the workforces in America today if they would serve their masters as according to serving the Lord and not unto serving men? Listen to this thought for a minute. I was a union steward, okay? And I don't know how a preacher can ever be a union steward. I really don't. I really don't know how that works. That's why I'm not a union steward anymore. Every single day, you'd have men over here that were working hard. Every single day, you'd have men over here that were not working hard. They both got paid the same money. Why? Because it's politically correct to pay them the same. It now, no matter what, you got guys over here like preacher's dad that would not stop working 16 hours. They didn't even like working with the guy because he worked all day long. Please slow down. You're making us all look bad. You know how many times I heard that working in the union shop? And I'm not going to sit here and bash on unions today, but unions are a lot of problems in America. You can say what you want to say. Meet me on the parking lot later. I'll tell you all about it. I was part of the union. And you had guys over here that were working hard, but they were working hard because it was in their blood to work hard. And by the way, most of these people were old. Then you go over here to the younger crowd, and the younger crowd was still over here and not work, not put in the 8 hours, do whatever they wanted to do, and they still had to get paid the same because, bless God, if he didn't pay, they didn't say, this just wasn't right. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you go back to the older day, if you didn't work hard, you got what? Fire. You got fired. But we live in a day-to-day where it's okay to be the loser. It's okay to be the second guy. It's okay to be the guy that sleeps for 4 hours, works for 4 hours, and gets paid for 8 hours. In the old days, you didn't get paid for the second 4 hours. You got fired in the second 4 hours. And what happens is this. We won't do what we're doing in our workforces. And listen to me. Oh, please listen to me. Here's the difference between biblical correctness and political correctness. The Bible says to do what you do heartily as unto the Lord. That includes your job, Christian. If you go to work and you slough off and you don't do what you're supposed to do for your boss, you're not supposed to get reward for that. You're not supposed to get somebody to come and praise you because you sat around for 2 and 3 hours. Why am I not getting promoted in this company? Why in the world? Well, bless God, I've been here for 6 years. Why am I not getting a promotion? Why don't you do a little work? Boy, it's quiet. Man, I'm glad. Okay? When you go to your workforce and you don't do work, I wonder why the boss gets upset with you. But you're not supposed to be doing it as your boss is there. You're supposed to be doing it as the Lord is watching over you. Now, that doesn't just include your workforce. That includes what you do in your daily life. That includes what you do. And I'm going to tell you, if people could see the Lord watching over them and decisions that we make from day to day to day in this country, if we could see Jesus Christ standing over top of us, looking at us, Would you do things differently? Well, let me tell you something, Christian. He is watching over you. He does see you. Wherever you go, there he is. And if we are going to continue to do that which is politically correct, but not do that which is biblically correct, the Lord sees. The Lord knows. The Lord wants you to do that which is great for his kingdom. And to do that, you've got to show your, hey, listen, in your workplace, you should be the hardest worker. If you're a Christian, you should be the hardest worker. They should say, man, there's just something about that person. You should not be the person that does their best to get out of every hour of work that they can. And that's the mentality of today. Well, Brother Dave, why are you hitting so hard on the workforce? Well, I don't know. It just seemed like a good place to go in this Ephesians and Colossians that this brother had written down here. Could you imagine if we would all act like the Lord was our boss? And the Lord has a little bit more power than your boss does, amen? Just a thought. Next page, which is the first page that you have. And the bell rang. We are living in a generation which is throwing away with both hands the same rule of God's law and God's rights in favor of man's law and man's right. If we continue, we are headed for divine judgment and utter folly. In Psalm 144:15, I'll just kind of sum this up. I just want to mention this with this verse. God never intended for us to have kings. God never intended for us to have leaders that are above us. God intended for us to have him as our leader. Okay? Now, we do have leaders, and we're supposed to respect them and uphold them. And no matter what leader is in office, you should be praying for them. You should be hoping and praying that God moves their heart, hoping and praying that God directs them in what they would do and not direct them down a path that would take our country further down than it already is. We should be praying for our leaders to have the Lord move them in the way that God would move them. Amen? Not in the way that preacher would have them to go, not in the way that I would have them to go, but in the way that God would have them to go. Amen? Now, part of the source of this problem lies in what we call political correctness. Now, you can read through this, but I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, Christian. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, we have a hard time because of the things that we see. And Christian, never in my entire life until just very, very recently, I am coming so very, very, very close to never watching TV again.
Yeah, right.
It is filth. It is lies. It is horrifying.
Yes.
Let me just give you an example. You go back 3 or 4 months ago, everything that was on the TV, almost every single day, every single minute, was about gas prices. Why? They're $4 a gallon. It's real news because the nation's going down. Do you see any news reports today that are talking about the $1.87 gas prices? Happy? Thankful? Glory to God? No. Why? Because they want you depressed every single day. If you would, listen, if you could go back to the day, one of my favorite shows, and boy, this, I probably shouldn't tell you this. One of my favorite shows is Little House on the Prairie. You are so weird. Hey, I think about that. I would to God that we could go back to that day. I would to God that we could go back to the day where the only thing that mattered to you was whether the daylight was there or whether the night was there and whether you had food on the table. That was the only concern. Oh, well, Brother David, we got so many more things. And has it made us better? Has it made us better to be able to communicate in a nanosecond? Has it made us better to be able to do things a million miles? miles an hour? Has it made us better? Let me ask you a question, Christian. This is real simple. Can you make it on 40 hours a week anymore? No way. And if there's a person here that works just 40 hours a week, I'm surprised. You are working now more than you've ever worked in your entire life, and guess what you're getting for it? Nothing. Less, as a matter of fact, than you were getting before. Bless God, we talk about this all the time. Preacher used to make, what, $14, $15 an hour working Allied Chemical? That was years and years and years ago. Do you realize that $14, $15 an hour would be a great job today? And do you understand that you are making the same amount of money at $14, $15 an hour, but everything costs three times as much? Have we made it better for America having to move a million miles an hour? Have we made it better for America to be able to do all these things? Where, man, we can compress 1,800 things in an eight-hour day now, but you're not getting ahead. Do you feel like you're sitting there spinning your wheels in your car?
Yeah, right.
Man, I would to God we could go back to when eggs were 2 cents a dozen. And you went next door to get them. Hey, listen, you might think that's bad, but listen, back in those days, people helped each other. You listen to me. You're living in a society today that does not want to help each other. They don't want to take an extra step to give you a hand because, bless God, they're drowning themselves. We live in a society today where we're so worried about political correctness that we've sunk to an all-time low in being able to move forward. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you go back into the days that you were able to just go for 40 hours and be home with your family, men. Men, listen to me. We're not home anymore. What are our kids supposed to do with no dad at home? What are our kids supposed to do with no mom at home? You can't make it without both of you working anymore. That's sad, man. We live in a day and age where you've got to literally leave your family behind just to give them bread for their table. I would to God we could go back to the old paths, stand in the old ways. And I believe with all my heart, preacher was right. If we would stand for righteousness again in this nation, the Lord would lift us up.
That's right. That's where it's at.
But because we're so worried about everything in this world, Christian, listen to me. You're so worried about the things of this world, having a nice house, having a nice car, having all these amenities, having all these comforts. You know what that's going to mean to you in heaven? Zero. Christian, let's stand in the old paths. Let's stand for what's right biblically. Biblically, not with hatred. Don't go after somebody with hate. Don't go after somebody saying, well, bless God, you're wrong, you're going to die. Don't talk like that. Go after people in love. That's what the Lord did when he was on this earth. Yeah, he turned over the tables in the temple, but there was a time that the Lord needed to do that. I think what's sad is, preacher, we do it so the opposite. We want to go turn the tables over every time that we see something. The Lord very seldom showed anger. I would to God we'd care for each other, man. Just care for each other. Desire to help one another. Not only desire, seek where you could help somebody. A long time ago I talked about, man, what if you are the answered prayer? What if you are the answered prayer for somebody? What if you are that person that they've been praying for? Man, Lord, I would to God you'd give me $10. And you pass by a person that says, oh, I'm so near. And the Lord moves your heart to give them $10 and you say, I'll pray for you. What if you were the answered prayer? What if you were the one that was sent in that person's path to talk to them about the Lord? What if you were the person that was sent in that person's path to help them out that day? What if you were the person that was sent in that person's path to give Brother Siegel a ride? Anybody in this church can give him a ride at any time. Hey, what if you're that person? Well, that can't be me. I'm too busy. We are too busy.
Yeah.
Preacher talked to me yesterday. I'm all done. He talked to me about a fella that he saw at Deluxe Pastries.
Yeah.
Preacher goes there a lot. He goes to Deluxe Pastries, and there's a fella outside. Preacher walks outside and said, the fella says, can I have a jump? And preacher, and he was extremely busy, and he was busy. The Bible conference was going on. He had to be back. He told the fellow, oh, I can't. I don't have cables. The fellow says, I got cables. And the preacher says, oh, I really can't. I wish I could, but I really can't. And as he gets in his truck, the guy says, I know you're a preacher. Preacher got in his vehicle, drove around the block, and came back. And listen to what he said to the person. And you get a hold, grab hold of this. Grab a hold of this. He said to the fellow, you know what? Sometimes we get too busy And we don't see that we need to help people.
Right.
Christian, don't become too busy.
Amen.
Don't become too busy to give somebody a hand.
Amen.
Don't become too busy to pray for people and to help people and to care about people. Because Christian, if you don't, this world's not gonna. We need to help each other. That is biblically correct. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today and to teach this class. And Lord, I hope and pray that we can learn to just look to you more, Lord. I just really believe that you've given the whole way to do this correctly. I just believe, Lord, that you've given us the floor plan that we need to do this right. Lord, let's look to you in the next week or so and talk to you and get closer to you, Lord, that we may realize that we're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to stand in the ways, the old paths. And Lord, I believe the old paths contained helping people. I believe the old paths contained praying for people and caring about people with a true caring. Not with unfeigned love, Lord, but with real love. Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to look to you today in a very special way and realize that we need to care about each other. And Lord, I pray that we have a great service today. Anoint my preacher this morning, Lord. Put your hand on him. Put your power in him, Lord, that he can preach just what you'd have him to preach. Lord, I thank you for the visitors that are here today. Lord, please keep them coming back. Lord, let them know that Bethel Baptist Church is a fungus. You just keep going. We'll grow on you. Lord, help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.